The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
A post-game interview. Fernando Mendoza is the quarterback of Cal.
I kind of loved this one.
And I think this was a great moment. No, you said most college
football. Yeah, okay.
It was great.
I thought you were just like make fun of him. I was like, no, I loved this.
I loved it. No, this was the most college football thing because people, look, I am a staunch bowl backer. I love the bowls. I get it.
You work them.
I do work a couple bowl games too. Shouts to Bowl Season Radio. I worked Cal's bowl last year. But his quote post game, as they come back and win against
Stanford in the game.
Stanford. He goes, that was an amazing comeback. It was a testament to how much we are as a team. I love my boys. It's amazing. I'm so proud of everyone on this team. We're 6-6, even though they're 6-5. We're bowl bound. We retain the axe. Go Bears forever. And then the quote that is amazing. I'll remember going 98 yards with my boys. 98 yards. Hell yeah, man. You know, that's awesome.
It's kind of like the people think this is stupid, but you get it. A Saturday in the sports book with your boys when everybody's just on the same thing, even if your teeth kicked in, it's still the best. It's just it's the closest we can do to recreating the locker room.
And that's the thing too, and this is a discussion for another day. I have never gotten mad about a player opting out of a bowl game and protecting their body. But what I did get mad about, I think it was Myles Garrett. This is a long time. This is like before opt-outs were really the thing to do. And he became the number one overall pick. And he played in like the Texas Bowl. And people were like, why would he play? This is ridiculous. I'm like, have you ever played on a team before? Like, those are your brothers. You bust your ass with them in college football, college basketball, what, 12 months a year. And like to see that
most
moment.
Of the time, like y'all kind of like Miles was a highly ranked recruit. Like he probably recruited a lot of those guys, and like he probably felt like, hey man, like a lot of these guys are here because of me.
So to see a dude like Fernando Mendoza, who was emotional after coming back to beat Stanford, think about what Cal's dealt with this year. They blew a 30-point lead or whatever it was to Miami. They had College Game Day. They were, you know, outside of Kansas, like the most snake-bitten team in college football this year. And that's what I love about this sport. That's what I love about just sports in general, where people are like, bowl games don't mean anything, you know, whatever. I'm like, dude, they just went 98 yards to beat their rival. They get to bowl eligibility. Good for them, man.
No, I'm with you. In the playoff era, we've diminished like rivalries and these kind of games. And I'm with you. Like that is kind of part of the sport. It's like the games that just matter to them. I'm with you. All right, what I got right, I have nailed my Mississippi State formula, and I might talk you into this. I want you to know that you could be scared. The rule is if State's getting three touchdowns or more, take them. If they're getting single digits, so I think the line closed to like 8 or 9. I think I got 7.5, but it didn't matter. That's when you fade them. They might be live against Ole Miss. Although Ole Miss, you have to accept that Ole Miss could do to Mississippi State what they did to Arkansas if they just like who knows where they're going to be after this game. Maybe tonight will maybe determine a little bit of how I feel. Like if they're ahead of Alabama and they play on Friday and they think maybe we can get some style points, like that could be a little terrifying. But I'm just saying they could be live.
I texted you on Friday night late. I was walking my dog and I was like, do we like Mississippi State? And you were like, nope. And I listened to you, thankfully, because yeah. I really liked them in this spot against Missouri. I'm like, oh, man, back-to-back, brutal games.
They have a clear formula.
You were right.
They have that. I also nailed Ohio State and Notre Dame. What I got wrong, Auburn and Ole Miss. I didn't fire on Bama.
Embrace the stink, my friend.
All right, so what do I owe you?
I don't know. Well, let's leave it to the people. I don't want your money. That's boring.
It's game of the year, though.
Yeah.
Lannister always pays his debts.
It's Thanksgiving. I don't know. You could donate money to a food bank of your choice. We could do something fun. Giving me money's silly. I don't need your money. We'll figure it out. If listeners want to chime in, what does Jeffrey need to do to pay his debts? I'll run through mine real quick. Fresno State was my favorite bet of the week, and that was thankfully easy. Late night, I got Auburn, thankfully. Had some Oklahoma, had some Kansas. It was a good week. What I got wrong, oh boy, did I get UVA wrong. Whoo, buddy. SMU took them to...
Took them to the
cleaners. Yeah, whatever you want to say. That was a whooping. So it was overall, I'll say this, you know, pretty good weekend. I'm happy about it. I had the under in Indiana, Ohio State. So Ryan Day, go pound sand. Other than that, it was a good weekend. Hopefully we keep it rolling.
All right, John Morant returned to the Grizzlies last night. We got some more action during Feast Week going on right now. UConn back in action. We'll talk about all that. Also, we'll discuss what we think the playoff rankings will look like coming up during the second hour. Stick around and listen to Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. It's never too early to start thinking about the big game. Tennessee's newest sportsbook, Zen Sports, has launched a brand new sweepstakes all month long for all Tennessee customers. It's the Big Game Sweepstakes, where you could win a grand prize of 2 tickets to go see Super Bowl 59 in New Orleans or $10,000 cash. And what's more is that Zen Sports will award an additional 50 prizes, which include 2 tickets to any sporting event in Tennessee or $100 cash. If you want in on the action, all you have to do is you can earn multiple entries each and every day by betting on the Zen Sports app. For every bet you place, you'll earn 1 entry, and for every dollar you bet, earn an additional entry. If you like parlays, you can earn double the entries on every parlay placed. So what are you waiting for? Sign up with Zen Sports today. And if you use my promo code JeffTN, J-E-F-F-T-N, you will receive an additional 25% odds boost when you sign up with the promo code JeffTN. So get started today on Zen Sports. Start betting with Zen Sports. Download the app today, Zen Sports. Betting just got better. If you got a gambling problem, call the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789. Tim Murray joining me here on a Tuesday. Let's get into the list. The Memphis Grizzlies. Yeah, Tim, we had a nice moment, my wife and I, last night. So her family's going to do their Thanksgiving tomorrow at one of her cousin's houses. And since I'm obviously having to work, I'm not involved with that. But because of that, my in-laws volunteered to take my daughter for a couple of days. And so we got to do date night last night. So we went to dinner downtown, and then we went to the Grizzlies game. And that was a ton of fun. And for my wife, it was the perfect type of Grizzlies game to go to because she gets super anxious, and it was a game that the Grizzlies, there was like a 7-point moment where you're like, yeah, man, they need to put the Trailblazers away, but wire to wire, no drama in the fourth quarter, never really got anxious. But there were a couple of great moments last night that I was thinking about, and I don't know if it's maybe because it's the holiday season, but I got to tell you, man, FedEx Forum, our courtside seats have to lead the league in body mass index. I'm telling you, we can go pound for pound, literally, with anyone. I know San Antonio gets a bad rap, OKC, but I'm telling you, you scroll up and down the floor seats, and you're like, "Whoo, boy, there's not a lot of elbow room there." Looks like a Southwest flight, and you're just praying that you're sitting next to a kid.
Hey, man, some good eating down there. I've been to Memphis. Mm-hmm. Some good eating. Get some barbecue. Get some Gus's chicken. I mean, there's
another big part along the same lines. So Marcus Smart missed some time last week. He's been coming back from an ankle injury, but then he missed some time with food poisoning. And I think this might be the most savvy vet move I've ever seen in my entire life. We don't appreciate enough how smart it was to get food poisoning before Thanksgiving. It's the guy that winds up getting the stomach flu before formal so he can drop a quick 10 to 15 pounds so that he can look good in his tux. Brilliant move. Love doing it before Thanksgiving.
No doubt, man. You gotta get that good eating in before drop those LBs before
junior year. I was the one guy that got swine flu, and let me tell you what. This is when I thought the COVID reaction was going out of hand. I know this. I felt a billion times worse with swine flu than I ever did with COVID, and like just the whole reaction. But the all-time best moment was when word gets out in the house that I've got swine flu. I just hear one of my buddies screaming out, Jeffrey, come spit in my mouth. Formal's in 2 weeks. Daddy needs to drop 10.
I don't even remember when we had swine flu.
So it was like 2009. Because okay. I remember it was the worst. First off, it felt like someone was just continuously hitting you in the back of the head with a baseball bat. And then you would go through these massive body temperature swings. So like 1 minute you're sitting here with like 104 fever and you're just praying for death. The next you are just in the Arctic frozen. And the only reason I can remember is because the Phillies-Dodgers playoff game was on. Like that was what I was trying to watch in my room. And I just remember being so miserable and like looking up. It was, swine flu was awful.
Doesn't sound like fun.
It was miserable. My dad told me, like, my mom at one point, like, thought, she's like, I think I'm going to have to fly to California. Like, I'm worried that he's going to die. And so I was like, it might have been a touch dramatic. But at the same time, I'm sure she's just reporting what she's hearing from me. But on to the basketball. And the bigger part was we got the return of Ja Morant last night. And, man, I hope everybody's sitting down for this because – I'm sitting with my wife and she's just like, this is just way better. And when he's on the floor, man, he's electric. And it's even more so in person because when you can only watch so much from TV, but when you can really see the whole floor and how the whole floor is moving and how he's manipulating everything, he's so good right now. He's so under control. We also had his first dunk of the year last night. It was a moment of weird stats that are true. It was only the second game that Ja Morant, Jaren Jackson Jr., and Desmond Bane had played together this year, and it was also Ja Morant's first dunk of the year. But he also had like a behind-the-back pass in traffic. I mean, it's just everything he does. The guy is just electric.
And I think it's why a lot of people thought that this could be a dark horse to come out of the West. And we saw it a couple of years ago with getting the 2 seed, and you know, right now you look around, what the Lakers are doing, is it sustainable? They have a negative point differential.
It stands out when you look at it. I know that,
right? You know, the Clippers are behind the the Grizzlies by a half game, but what they're doing is not sustainable. Now, Durant and Beal are expected back tonight for Phoenix.
Don't think Dallas is going to hang out in the bottom for very long.
No. Luka banged up. Like, is Golden State? Maybe that might be for real. They're pretty legit, and Steph's playing out of his mind. Oklahoma's legit, but like, I look at the Grizzlies and I think there's movement northward. I mean, Minnesota, I expect to get better too. But yeah, man. I mean, Josh stays healthy.
Well, and that's what you realized last night.
Big caveat,
it's like,
right?
Man. How many games do you tell me he plays? Because that's the other thing, man. It's like he goes up, makes a big play, and he's now Ja is a little dramatic on the injury front. But it's like every time, man, he goes up in the air and then comes back down, and he's favoring his knee a little bit. You hold your breath because you realize without him, all of this is academic. Like, you still got to play a season out, and you know, they're very much, they've not played themselves out of anything, but you just realize if this team is going to accomplish anything, it involves him.
Yeah, for sure.
The other thing that stood out about last night, man, if I put you on the spot and said, can you name five Portland Trailblazers, how many do you think you could get? And by the way, Klingon didn't play last night.
DeAndre Ayton.
Yes.
Clyde Drexler.
Nope. Mm. Sam Cassell's their coach, though.
Scottie Pippen.
He's a Grizzly.
Oh.
The junior is.
You got me at Ayton.
Because, no, I mean, when my wife was asking me...
CJ McCollum's still on the Blazers.
Nah, he's back with the Pels. So Anfernee Simons, pretty good player, but he's now like in that classic, like this guy's clearly, like he didn't have a good game last night. That's where Shaedon Sharpe is. I learned last night that Robert Williams is still in the NBA. Shout out the Vols. That's where Jeremy Grant is. And they also had, something called a Denis Avija, and he actually played pretty well. He got banged up late. But that was one of those ones where my wife's like, who's on the Blazers? As I was walking in, I was like, nobody you know. And then when they did the starting lineup, she's like, nobody could even boo because nobody knows who they are. There's also another great line when Ja had the big dunk. There was just some guy behind me, and it, based on like eavesdropping I could hear, it sounded like somebody brought someone in town to go to this game. And it was like his first time watching Ja Morant in person. And the guy just goes, wow. He just jumps so high. It's like, yeah, he does. Also, there's this other thing. Maybe you can. So I was texting my fraternity little brother who used to be in coaching. I was watching it in warmups because obviously one of the whole things with Ja is like, man, if he can ever just shoot 30, you know, if he can shoot league average from three, like, watch out, because then he's just going to have that much more space. I'm not hopeful. Like, last night he had a good night from three, and that helped. But my brother has a pretty good take of he'll never believe in shooters that shoot with their elbow out. He's like, every great shooter I've ever known has the elbow in tight and fires that way. But I was also noticing this. Why, when in basketball, when we've got nerds, like, coming up with every theory on the planet, to me there was a simple one watching in warmups. I watched Luke Kennard, who's clearly one of the greatest shooters in the NBA today. His ball spins and rotates so much. And then when I watch Jaws, it's kind of knuckly. You know, like it's still spinning end over end, but it's... And I equate it to anytime you watch a quarterback and you see that they can really spin it and it has all the RPMs, that's usually a guy with, like, I trust with accuracy. And then the guys that kind of throw the, you can almost read Wilson or Nike as it's spinning. Like, those are the guys that I don't really believe in. But I think there has to be something to the rate of spin and how good of a shooter you are.
That's why I was always mad I wasn't a great shooter. Because, damn, when I shot the ball, it looked pretty. And then it would clink off the rim.
Like, yeah, damn. But you can get away with, like, that's the other thing. If you have a pretty shot, people will believe in you.
But there is something. I felt like I had too much spin. Because there was something about, like, some of those elite shooters. It looked pretty, and then it wouldn't, like, spin all that much. But it was always kind of, I never knew how they, like, slowed it down.
So I think it's something like, so Steph kind of does this. Steph shoots
whatever
those,
he does, just do whatever he
does. But, like,
does.
You know what I mean? Well, I mean, that's the other thing. It's like, okay, we're taking the greatest shooter of all time. But I'm saying, think about it in these terms of he shoots those moon balls that go straight up in the air and then they come straight down. Like, that's the other thing. When I think about great shooters, when I think about how the ball enters the basket for them, it comes in like at a different trajectory and goes in with like more force. And I think that's where the spin comes in, is that they've learned how to kind of shoot it, and Steph probably had to learn to do it because he was always undersized, and so he had to shoot it over the top of people. but he's learned how to. It's essentially the quarterback that throws the deep ball that turns over and drops in the bucket. It's kind of that's what Steph does with a basketball.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I agree. I just don't, yeah, I don't think Ja's ever going to be an elite shooter. But I mean, you never know. I mean, things could get better. You know, what, you know, where could you ultimately get to, I think, is the question with him.
It's honestly like if he just gets like 35%, he doesn't even really need to be league average because, like, what league average is now probably what, 37 ish?
Yeah, I'd probably say that.
So if he can even get to 35, it's just the point where when you get into these, because this was the other thing that stood out. Chris Harrington does a great job for the Daily Memphian as kind of the Grizzlies analyst. He made this point on Calkins' show this morning. It's very obvious to him that if Ja plays a mediocre or a bad NBA team, they can do nothing with him. And that stood out last night. Like, it was, Ja was like going through walkthrough. Like, it's like, that's, but what, where it becomes the issue is when you start to play the better teams, when you get into the playoffs and teams that can dare you to shoot from the outside and take away the inside game, because the Grizzlies love to get into the paint. Can you do enough that makes them respect that?
Sorry. I'm watching the UConn-Colorado game right now, and UConn got a steal and a two-on-one break, and one of the dudes wanted a lob, and the ball just pegged it at the guy's head instead of throwing it up for the lob.
No, this has been very frustrating because based on what Hurley did last night and said, I was like, oh boy, I think it's going to be a bad day to be a Buffalo. Oh, wow, you're ahead of me because I just saw that. I was thinking it was going to be a bad day to be a Buffalo.
And it still might be.
Yeah, that's one thing about UConn. They're still kill, kill, kill time. But Colorado's been game so far. Like, I thought there were several moments where they could, because part of this also is I'm sure Colorado did all advanced scouting about playing Memphis. And so UConn did not feel like, to me, the type of team you wanted to see that you weren't really prepared for. But so far, they've hung tough.
They have. They're down 9 at half. It was an 8-point first half spread. So it's on market right now where they've gone. So
we've also had a suggestion. Would you accept a bottle of bourbon?
Yeah, I mean, I'm always good. I'm good for some alcohol.
Would you rather have bourbon or red?
I'd rather red, or if you want to send me some, like, yeah, some good local beer. Beer sucks out here, man. It's one thing. Vegas sells like cool stuff. I mean, I could go get beer, but like
but you're always like then yeah. That was the other thing I was laughing.
Love ladies, okay, but that's, you know,
the F1 drive. By the way, we didn't talk about this. What was the difference last year? I felt like we were flooded with over marketing of the F1 Vegas Grand Prix, as they would say. This year, my wife on Saturday, because like I'm a decent F1 fan. Like, I would say I watch most races and I always know like what's going on. And that's like, I'm more than just watching Drive to Survive. Like, I know what's going on. My wife was like, wait, the race is tonight? I was like, yeah. How did we go from one year where they just flooded us to this year, nobody even knew the thing was happening?
I live here, man. I didn't really know what was happening. Like,
And I was wondering, like, did they maybe, I was thinking this was my theory, so you tell me if you think this passes the smell test. Because they over-marketed it last year, and by all accounts from the reports that I read, based on the expected value to the Vegas economy, it did not live up to what it was promised to be. I wondered if they just cut the marketing budget.
If I had to guess, I don't know this for sure, but if I had to guess, I think they focused on their high-end clientele and not the casual person. Because, like I said, I live here. It didn't disrupt my day-to-day. And the only reason I remembered it was happening was because I was watching football on Saturday in the bottom right-hand corner. It said, Vegas Grand Prix tonight, and whatever the sponsor was. So I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. I had no recollection of it. It was a big bleep show last year. You know, I don't know too many people who work on the strip, but for folks who worked at like Paris and a bunch of those MGM properties, they couldn't get to work and they had to like take shuttles. So Some of the lower end strip properties were really crushed by it. So I don't know what they dealt with this year, but my hunch is they just focused on their super rich clientele across the world. And
they treated it like an F1 race.
Right. Yeah. I mean, like from what I heard, like people who worked at the Bellagio thought it was amazing because they got tipped out of this world from millionaires and billionaires. And then other folks were like, it was awful. So
got some of that sweet Saudi cash, baby.
Dude, I'm down for that. But
yeah, all cash is the same to me. I never had a problem with the guys going to live. I just knew it was going to rip golf apart. It's like, this is not a sport that can sustain that. I did love the drivers complaining about so much weed. They're like, if you drug tested us, we would not pass.
So much weed smoke.
Yes.
Like, apparently, Max Verstappen had a private jet. So this was his, he went from Vegas to Maine, Maine to Amsterdam, Amsterdam to Qatar. The four-time Formula One world champion.
He clinched on Saturday.
9,000 miles in 21 hours.
Yeah, Max makes like $150 million a year, and he's like 26.
It's not bad.
It's not a bad way to live. All right, Aaron Rodgers. All right, we'll do this before we talk what we think the rankings are going to be. All right, so today's Tuesdays with McAfee. I hope everybody's sitting down for this. Aaron may not be playing football next year. Jets would be his first option if he would play in 2025.
This dude,
quote, I don't even know if I want to play yet, but New York would be my first option.
I mean, at what point is he going to go start stealing money from Mississippi government? I mean, he's just turning into Brett Favre.
No, I mean, I keep waiting for them to, like, the new regime will cut him. He's going to go be the Vikings quarterback. And, yeah, I keep waiting for that. But at the same time, it's like, I think maybe what you're pointing out with Favre, of course, I don't even know, like, what that story's gotten so convoluted, I don't even know if he's a criminal anymore. Like, you read every story, and it's like, then maybe, like, they tried to scapegoat him, but, like, it's like, I don't know, it's like, we still have a pretty good history of Favre's probably not a great guy, but, like, to me, there's a difference between not being a great guy and being a criminal, and so I'm very iffy on that. But I do think it's probably fair to say Rodgers probably has more money, is spent less money than Favre has.
Yeah, I think that's fair, but this dude, like, just go away, man. Like, you were an awesome quarterback. You were so good. The peak of your power. You won 4 MVPs. You were incredible.
There's no way the new Jets regime can want him, right?
I wouldn't think so.
Now, I guess the other problem would be, this is what I've been thinking about, because obviously I've turned my attention to the draft. I bet against when I read every quote, like, listen, the Daniel Jones era is done and gone. But I also know, while maybe Daniel's not good, what's behind him is even worse. And when you hear every comment from other players on the team being like, we didn't want him benched, I knew that you were going to get the old no-show. And so that didn't disappoint.
Thank God we get to watch him on Thanksgiving, baby.
Oh, I did love Big Cat threw out the idea of, what if the Cowboys signed Daniel Jones?
That would be great.
And that would make at least next week more watchable, although it's still not going to be watchable. The thing is, do you have confidence in any of these guys that we're seeing right now that they're going to be great NFL pros?
No, I think Shador's going to be good as long as
I think
it doesn't become.
I think Shador's good, but here's my fear. I worry about Shador being in New York.
I worry about just the potential circus that could follow him.
Well, and he clearly is a more thin-skinned quarterback. Like, he has rabbit ears. Here's everything, and I think he's immensely talented. It's honestly why I do think Vegas is the best spot for him. Like, there's just not nearly as much attention. Play in a dome. Like, I do think that's a good spot for him. But then the problem is, it's
media's, like, media's here's easy.
That's what I'm saying.
There's no criticism.
That's why, and like to me, it's where I would worry about him with the Giants. But then it's like, okay, after that, I guess Cam.
I don't know, man. That dude, it's
because there are moments where you see Cam, and you're like, he can make every throw, and then there's other moments where you're like, oh my god, those are crippling plays. And the biggest reason why Daniel Jones can't play in the NFL anymore is because if Daniel didn't turn the ball over, he would actually be a pretty decent quarterback. But Daniel does turn the ball over. And so guess what? He's not.
So does Cam Ward.
Right.
I think the guy that people are going to fall in love with is Nussmeier.
I'm not convinced he's going to the draft.
When he gets told he's going to be a first-round pick, he will. Pretty big body dude.
Kelly just had some money open up.
How about that piece on The Athletic?
I'm sure you really struggled to get through that one. All right, speaking of college football, let's talk about what we think will happen tonight on the rankings. We'll do that next right here on Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Football fans, do you want to hear the whole unadulterated truth about where your team stands?
It's the most embarrassing film I have ever watched in my entire life.
Former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth gives his perspective on the top storylines and games on a weekly basis on the Stinkin' Truth Podcast.
You may get out of here with 2 sacks and a tackle for loss, but you're getting out with a bloody nose.
New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday.
It's going to be a street fight.
Make sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
All right, Tim, last week they finally listened to you. They did the ranking the way that made the most sense rather than just giving us 25 through 1 and then making the bracket. They gave us the rankings, I think, up to 14 or maybe or so, and then they filled in the bracket based on where everyone would be, making it make more sense. I think that logically I'm with you. I think that was a better presentation.
Yeah, and I'm very curious about tonight.
All right, so what are your big questions?
I think on the smaller scale, well, I think the big question is Indiana. How far do they drop? I think a lot of that got figured out with Bama and Ole Miss losing. So I think that's interesting. How far do they drop? Are they still in the field? How far does Bama and Ole Miss drop with 3 losses? Do they still have a shot? And then on a smaller level,
I would also add, is Bama still ahead of Ole Miss?
Yeah. And then on a smaller level, does Notre Dame jump Penn State? It's been a lot of discussion about that. I don't think they do tonight, but I think that Notre Dame has an opportunity playing USC this weekend, and that would be a common opponent. If they go out and look impressive doing so, I think they have a chance to jump Penn State. But I don't think that happens just yet. But I think that's more of the smaller side of things because it's pretty clear both those teams went out. They're going to get a home playoff game. But I think that, to me, the interesting thing is just the teams that lost. Where do they go? And who's that magical team who pops back into the top 25? That's what I want to know. Because we got Illinois, like, what?
It's
Missouri?
Who do they need to justify? K-State, maybe?
Whew. Maybe. Yeah, I'm looking at last week's rankings. Illinois snuck in. Missouri was already in there. And then, I guess, once again, on a much smaller scale, so Tulane was behind Army. Obviously, they'll jump Army, who got curb stomped. Colorado.
I would suspect Army's going to be out.
Colorado lost. BYU lost. Texas A&M lost. How high does Tulane go? How much legit pressure does Tulane have on Boise State to get the G5 bid? And then lastly, is there a crazy scenario? I don't think it'll happen. Remember, the rules state it's the 5 top conference champs. How far is Arizona State behind Tulane? Are they far enough? Are they close enough so that Arizona State, if they were to win the conference, or Iowa State, if they were to win the conference, are able to leapfrog Tulane? They're going to have to get pretty interesting. It's way down. Last week it was Tulane 20, Arizona 20, Arizona State 21, Iowa State 22. That's something to keep an eye on, because I can tell you one thing. We ain't going to see two Group of Five teams make the playoff.
Remind me, Arizona State's loss. They had the Cincinnati loss where they had to play, I think, a backup quarterback at Cincinnati.
Texas Tech.
And then Texas Tech. Okay, so they...
Early on in the year, they've won four straight.
So you could talk me into, because Iowa State plays Kansas State, if Iowa State were to beat Kansas State and then win the Big 12 title game, you could talk me into leapfrogging. I still think the path for Tulane is the same. It's you're just rooting for a Boise loss one way or the other. I don't think there's any way that you can just win your way in. To me, it's like it's Boise has to stumble, and then you can win your way in.
I agree, but it is interesting to note that they were behind, ahead of Arizona State and Iowa State this past week in the most recent rankings. Now, the Army loss doesn't help them, because I think they drop Army out.
Yeah. So over at The Athletic, Austin Mock, who does projections, so his he has the top five. I think this is basically the same as last week. So Oregon, Ohio State, Texas, Penn State, Notre Dame. That's his top five. What he's projecting.
The only difference is Notre Dame jumps to five because Indiana lost. Indiana was five last week.
Okay, you're right. He has Miami moving from 8 to 6. Georgia. He has Georgia dropping to 7.
Georgia was 10 last week.
I'm sorry. He has Georgia moving up to 7. He has the AP poll next to it. Sorry.
Yeah, no worries.
Indiana at 8.
Ooh, I don't think they're going to be that high.
Tennessee at 9. SMU at 10. Clemson at 11. Alabama at 12. Ole Miss at 13. He has Boise dropping to 14.
After the one-point win over Wyoming?
Correct. And then South Carolina at 15. I am fascinated. If chalk holds, if Alabama beats Auburn, if Ole Miss beats Mississippi State, and if South Carolina beats Clemson, so I guess it's technically not chalk. Let's say, because I think they're a 2.5-point dog right now. I am really curious to know if South Carolina has the momentum to pass two teams that they've beaten.
Off of, yeah.
And then I'm also curious, what do you think, like, let's say Kyle McCord has a night. And
Come on, baby.
And let's say that is where Miami gets knocked off, because I think Miami at that point still in the ACC.
No. If Miami
is that
loses,
how Clemson gets in?
Yeah, that's how Clemson gets in.
Okay, so SMU has clinched, because, their one loss is BYU. Then Miami's like I'm very curious. There's a lot of momentum, I think, for the ACC to get two in. Maybe this is me having my brain controlled by the SEC and the Big Ten. Man, I just think that they've clearly stated, like, those league, the ACC, the Big 12, and the G5, they're all kind of the same. That you're getting one team in.
So last week, all right. So. Let's run through it real quickly. Oregon's going to stay 1. Ohio State's going to stay 2. Texas is going to stay 3.
Yep.
Penn State, I would imagine, stays 4, even though that's the interesting one, because Penn State beat Minnesota by a point and Notre Dame dominated a ranked team in Army, won by 5 touchdowns.
And it wasn't that close.
I still think they don't jump them. I think the NIU loss is just still kind of hanging in there, so that's fine. I think it'll be Penn State. I think that's just bump it up. I think the interesting part is where, even though Georgia played UMass last week, they're supposed to evaluate everything the same. I thought Georgia, remember last week, I thought they would get a bigger bump than they did. They only moved up 2 spots after last week's win over Tennessee.
Yep.
Miami, what, beat Wake Forest?
Yeah. Throttled them.
Yeah. They haven't done it yet. We really haven't seen a two-loss jump a one-loss. They still are kind of in their same mindset. So maybe, well, Alabama jumped Miami. I think Miami just moves to six, but I wouldn't be surprised if Georgia jumps up to six. Because Georgia's going to have to jump to two if they win the SEC.
Or, I mean, they can technically...
Well, I guess they don't have to because the Big 12 is behind them anyways.
Technically, like, they really only have to get up to three. But they're likely going to drop... whoever loses the Big 10 championship game is going to get dropped anyway. So, yeah, I think you're right.
So what's going to be interesting moving forward is if Texas gets revenge over Georgia. Let's say Texas beats A&M.
All right.
And then Texas beats Georgia.
Okay.
Where is Georgia seated? They're going to have three losses. They're going to be in the playoff. But how much do they fall? Last year they fell from 1-5, losing to Alabama. Or 1-6, I think. Or I can't remember.
I think they're going to fall to that 8-9 game. And then whoever's going to be the one seed is going to be pissed.
Yeah. Big Ten winner.
Yeah.
Because what it's setting up is like this. Big Ten loser is going to be the 5. SEC loser, if it's Texas, is going to be the 6. If it's Georgia, I guess Penn State and Notre Dame duke it out for the 6, assuming Notre Dame wins this weekend. So, look, there's a lot to still be played out. I do wonder, too, if they start to plant the seeds a little bit on Boise State, dropping them. And I think that's an interesting note from The Athletic.
Yeah.
Because they don't want Boise State to get a bye.
No, and you've already had your Mark doing the whole, he's doing the politicking that there's no way that our champion shouldn't get a bye.
Arizona State might be a big mover this week. They're 8-2. They just beat BYU, who is ranked 14. I think Arizona State jumps Tulane. I think Arizona State is the big, like, whoa. I think they move. So right now, last week, Arizona State was 21. They were behind Tulane, Army, South Carolina, Clemson, Colorado, A&M. I would not be surprised, and BYU, I wouldn't be surprised if they leapfrogged Tulane, Army, who's obviously out, South Carolina, Clemson. I think they're going to set the plant the seeds tonight that Boise and Arizona State are getting really close, so that Arizona State is going to be able to leapfrog Boise State and get the bye. However, what hurts Arizona State and the Big 12 is that UNLV now back in the driver's seat to go to the conference championship game, which would be a big win for Boise State because UNLV is ranked.
All right, Dennis, let's hit the music since we're a little bit late. All right, Tim, for today's Tell Your Story, don't tell the story, tell your story. I got to go to Jamal Murray about his team's lack of effort after Michael, don't call me Mike Malone, ripped his team. Quote, it's a long season. Guys have lives outside of basketball. We just beat L.A. in L.A. We've got some guys who live in L.A., so stayed in L.A. I don't think the focus was there from everybody, but that's what happens when you don't have focus. I don't know if you've been familiar with Jamal Murray's work lately. Not exactly a ton of focus on the end.
No, it hasn't. What's your prediction? Memphis, Michigan State.
I'm kind of thinking like you. I kind of think it's a bad spot for Memphis.
Hope I'm wrong, but I think Michigan State wins by single digits, but they win.
All right, Tim, we appreciate it, buddy. Happy Thanksgiving to you and yours. Good luck to you on Saturday night at the Coliseum.
Whew, I'll be sweating. Appreciate it. Happy Thanksgiving, all.
That is, of course, Tim Murray of VSIN. I want to thank everybody for listening. If you missed anything, be up on the podcast shortly after the program ends. For Dennis, for Tim, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kuhn Show with Connor and George coming up next.